Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Hey there, enjoyers. Hope you're doing really well today. Well, can you believe it? It's Sunday again. No matter where you are today, I am praying, we are praying that God would speak to you. In fact, why don't we begin today's service with just doing that? Let's just pray for a moment. Father, I pray for every enjoyer everywhere, Lord, that you would speak to them clearly today from your word. I pray, Lord God, use this vessel, Lord God. Use, Lord God, what we're doing in this season, Lord God, to continue to speak to your people. I thank you, Lord God. Lord, whenever we step out into your presence in prayer, you will speak to us. But I thank you, Lord God, for what you're speaking corporately to us as a church. So, Lord, we lean into you today. We ask you now, speak to us in Jesus' name. And everybody said together, amen. Amen. God bless you, enjoyers. So here we go. We're going to jump straight into the word today. I want to encourage you to lean in. I believe God is going to speak to you. God has been speaking to me all week, but I believe God is going to speak to you today. And together we're going to get ready to move forward into all that God has got for us. In Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, reading together from verse 20, it says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine or think, according to the power or his power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." And everybody said together, amen. Now, some of you may be aware, some of you may have heard that recently our neighbors came to Georgie and I and said that they wanted to build a new part of their house, an extension down the boundary line of our house. Now, to be honest, if I can be really honest with you, I wasn't keen, not from the beginning. I wasn't keen. I'm thinking, no. This is our west boundary. When the sun goes down, I'm going to lose some of my afternoon sun. And so for me, it wasn't something I was looking forward to. Long story short, we got together, we had a conversation. How many of you know that's a good thing to do? When neighbors are at it a little bit, maybe we need to sit down and have a conversation. We did that. And so they were talking about what they want to do. And I said, look, how would you feel if instead of putting the fence back up after you do the renovation, we actually render the wall? Now, they were like, if that's what you want to do, we'll do that. And I'm like, praise the Lord, you pass me the lemons over the fence and I'm going to make lemonade. So that was the plan. That was what we're going to do. So over the last week, we've been watching this wall go up. And I got to tell you, when the wall started to go up, to my surprise, this is what happened. So I'm watching the wall coming up out of the ground. And I realized that in a moment, I just realized, hang on a minute, these are not the bricks that are on the rest of the house. What I think has happened is the builder must have gone looking for the original bricks, because that's what you do whenever you do an extension. You try and keep it so that you don't know that's an extension. But I'd say they probably couldn't find the original bricks. So what they've done is they've got other bricks that are over 100 years old, and they've started to put up this brick wall. Now, as the brick wall has gone up, I've got to tell you, I started to salivate just a little bit, because I love this style of brick wall. I'm watching this brick wall go up, and it goes up and it's completed, and I'm like, wow, it is unbelievable. I love the brick wall. I think it's amazing, because it's gone from, I hate the idea, I don't want to lose my son, I don't want to have a brick wall on my boundary line, to now, I promise you, if I was going to have a brick feature wall anywhere, it would be this wall. All of the cafes that I go to that I love have got a brick wall just like this wall. And now the Lord has put one up right on my boundary. And I got to tell you, I am over the moon. I said to Georgie girl, now, just so you know, Georgie wasn't as enthusiastic right from the start. She wasn't necessarily sold on the issue. I said to her, come on, baby. I said, you know, all the cafes I go to, they have these walls. And she goes, I know. She goes, so why don't you go to the cafe? I said, baby, the Lord has brought the cafe to me. And I said, look, I'll do you a deal. If you allow me to keep the wall, I will call it the Great Wall of Georgie. No, and she goes, no, you will not call it that. You will call it the Wall of Georgie the Great. And I said, absolutely. If that's what you want, baby, I am in. I got to tell you, I was overjoyed. I was overjoyed because in an instant, I realized the Lord is still working on my behalf, on our behalf. Church, can I encourage you? God wants to bless the boundaries of your life. Just like God blessed my boundary in the natural, God wants to bless all of the boundaries of your life. This is what it says in Psalm 16, verse 6. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Church, can I encourage you, never underestimate the power of God that is working in you, that is working through you, that is working for you, even when you don't see it. God is at work on your behalf. Now, why don't you turn with me, if you will, to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. We're going to read together from verse 5 here. It says, during those dark times, that's an interesting place to start right there, isn't it? Anyone in the middle of any dark times at the moment? During those dark times, it was not safe to travel. Problems troubled the nation on every hand. Nation fought against nation and city against city. For God was troubling you with every kind of problem. And now, you men of Judah, be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded. When Asa heard this message from Azariah the prophet, he took courage and removed all the idols in the land of Judah and Benjamin and in the towns he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, which stood in front of the foyer of the Lord's temple. Then Asa called together all the people of Judah and Benjamin, along with the people of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, who had settled among them. Many had moved to Judah during Asa's reign when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. The people gathered at Jerusalem in late spring during the 15th year of Asa's reign. On that day, they sacrificed to the Lord some of the animals they had taken as plunder in the battle, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep and goats. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, with all their heart and all their soul. They agreed that anyone who refused to seek the Lord, the God of Israel, would be put to death. Now, there's a church growth program right there, one that we're not going to enter into, by the way, whether young or old, man or woman. They shouted out their oath of loyalty to the Lord with trumpets and blaring horns sounding. All were happy about this covenant, for they had entered into it with all their hearts. Eagerly they sought after God, and they found him. And the Lord gave them rest from their enemies on every side. When the people of God were experiencing dark times, when it wasn't safe to travel, when nation was rising up against nation, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Azariah. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 7, and now you men of Judah, are there any men of praise out there? Are there any women of praise out there? Are there any families of praise out there? This is what the word of the Lord is to all of us. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded. So verse 8 tells us that when Asa heard this message from Azariah the prophet, he took courage. This is what he did. He took courage and removed all of the idols from the land of Judah and Benjamin and in the towns that he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, which stood in the foyer of the temple. Can I encourage you, church? This is a time for us to take courage. We need to take courage in our God. We need to take courage in his word. We need to be strengthened in him, and we need to strengthen each other. This is what we need to do. For the Lord hasn't abandoned us. No. The Lord has not abandoned us, but he's setting us up for unexpected favor and unexpected blessing to come toward us on every side of us and to every boundary that is ours in Jesus' name. When King Asa heard the word of the Lord, the first thing he did was take courage. We're never going to be able to get around this point. We need to take courage. If you do not take courage, then the enemy is going to take you. That's just how it works. I hate to be so frank, but that's how it works. We need to be a people that are bold and courageous in this season. We need to strengthen ourselves in God and take courage in the Lord our God. Now, we need to understand, he wasn't ignorant to the fact that he was living in dark times. He wasn't ignorant to the fact that it wasn't safe to travel. But what he was aware of the word of the Lord. Friends, I want to encourage you in this season, we need to be aware of the word of God. In this season for King Asa, even though everything was upside down out there, he just had to be aware of the word of the Lord. Because for Asa, the word of the Lord held a greater place in his life and in his thinking, in his sight and in his view than anything that was happening out here. Be strong and courageous. That's the word of the Lord. Be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded. So verse 8 says, he took courage and he went to work. He took courage and he went to work. Now, his work was twofold, in that the first thing that he did was remove all the idols in the land of Judah and Benjamin and in the towns he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. In other words, in all the places that were under his authority, in all the places that were part of his domain, he went throughout all of these places and removed everything that shouldn't have been there. I don't know about you, but I think at times, there are times when it does us really well to take stock. As in, we all love a stock take sale. What are they doing? They're taking stock. They're working out exactly where they're at. They're clearing some things out and they're getting themselves ready for the next season. There comes a time in all of our life where we need to take stock. That's what was happening here. King Asa heard the word of the Lord. All right, so he knows what he needs to do. He needs to go to work. What is he doing going to work? He begins to go through the land and remove everything that shouldn't be in there. Church, can I ask you a question today? What things are in our lives that we need to pull down and remove? In this season of dark times, in this season where it's not safe to travel, what things, we're going to take stock now, what things are in our life that we need to pull down and remove? Now, obviously, when we're talking about King Asa, typically we're talking about idols that had been erected and put up in the land. But let's go beyond that. So are we talking about idols? Absolutely. Yes, we're talking about idols. But friends, I want to say it goes way beyond that. Let's just think about maybe idols, yes, but also what attitudes maybe have crept in that really are not helping us in our walk with God, or in what God is wanting to bring into our life. What attitudes, what thinking, what actions, what habits, what behavior has crept into our life? What things have we allowed into our life in this season that it's like, man, if I go back a year, I would never have allowed that into my life. I would never have embraced that thinking. I would have never stepped that path out. But in this season, when we're all a little bit troubled, when we're all a little bit influenced by what's going on out there, what things have begun to creep in that is actually preventing now the blessing and the favor of God going all the way to the boundaries of our life? As I said, I believe God wants to bring blessing all the way to the boundaries of your life. I have seen it in the last week as this wall has gone up. That's the boundary of my domain, as it were. And the Lord says, I'm going to bless you. You didn't even ask for it. I'm going to bless you. But friends, I know and I understand this in my own life. I need to take stock. I need to do a stock take and work out what things are there that are trying to creep in. What things have I allowed in? What things have just snuck in? And it's like, maybe not consciously, but what if I was to really slow down for a minute in my attitudes, my actions, my behavior, my thinking, what has come in? The first and the greatest commandment, according to Jesus, is Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So what things have crept in? What things have come in? What things have we allowed in that are now holding place in our lives and in our thinking and in our living that should be reserved for God and His Word? Sometimes I think, you know, God is there. God is so powerful. God is so mighty. God is altogether good and wanting to do good. But we allow things to come between where we live and where God is. When those things come in, all of a sudden our sight gets lowered and we don't access the things of God like God would have us access them because we've got all these other things in there. I want to encourage you, take stock. I want to encourage you, let's consider our lives. I want to encourage you to consider our ways. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 4, it says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punch every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. I think what they're saying is we are all on a journey. Some of us are quick to respond. But when our obedience is complete, then disobedience isn't an option any longer. We're going to say, no, that's not the way we're going to roll. No, no, that's not what we're going to entertain. No, we're not going to allow that into our life, to creep into our life. We're just not going to allow that. Why? Because we know it is not pleasing to the Lord. It's not pleasing to God. So now that we've decided, and I'm hoping that you've decided with me, now that we have decided, we're going to go through the land. We're going to go through the areas that we have responsibility for and have domain over, the areas of our domain, and we're going to look at our lives closely, intently even, and say, Lord, help us, Lord God, help us, help us, help us. Lord, what things have crept into our lives? What things have crept into our thinking, into our attitudes, our behavior, our actions that are preventing us from living the life that you would want to pour out on us, one where the blessing of God goes all the way to the boundaries in every direction? Lord, what things would you reveal to us now that we've decided to commit to demolishing everything that had set itself up against the knowledge of Christ? We are ready now to go to work. So that's the thing that Asa did again. When he went to work, he went through and pulled everything down. But after pulling everything down, he then went to work and began to rebuild. The second thing that King Asa did, here we go. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 8. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, which stood in front of the foyer of the Lord's temple. The altar speaks to all of us who are in Christ of our worship before God. We are worshipers. We are worshipers of the Lord Most High, the King of Kings. You know as well as I do that there is a coming when the Lord himself is going to seek for worshipers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. These are the sort of worshipers, the Bible says, that the Father seeks. These are the sort of worshipers that we desire to be. So, church, can I encourage you, now that you've taken stock in regards to the things that you want to remove from your life, and if you can sit there and say, there is nothing that I need to remove from my life, good for you. Good for you. Praise the Lord. God, good. Good job. Good job. That's what I want to say to you. Good job. You know, and since I've heard that the Nile is a beautiful river in Egypt. And that's probably where you're sitting beside right now. I think all of us, if we were to come before God and ask the Lord to reveal to us, Lord, show us, Lord God, what attitudes, what actions, Lord, what things have crept into my life that are preventing me from living the fullness of the life that you want to pour out on me? I actually think he will begin to speak to us. Now that we're there, as King Asa was, what are we going to do now? Now's the time to go to work and begin to rebuild the altar of worship. That's what we want to do. Take stock and consider our worship. That's right. What has slipped away? Let me ask you a question. Just like I've asked you the question, what do we need to remove from our life, pull down and remove from our life? Now I'm asking, what has slipped away during these dark times? This year, you know, it's been an amazing year. We started so strong, but you know as well as I do, March came around and then all of a sudden, whoop, we're in dark times. All right. So, but from there till now, what things have slipped away during these dark times? What has broken down while it's not safe to travel? What's gotten away from you in regards to your worship? Well, there's been nation fighting against nation. What are the things that we need to go after again? Yeah, I think it's interesting when the Lord writes to the churches in the book of Revelation, he's like, you know, you've done all these things, you're doing so much, but I've got this against you. You've lost your first love. And it's like, oh, I don't know about you. I'm good for a rebuke from the Lord. And I'm not rebuking anybody right now, but when God speaks to me, I'm like, thank you, Lord, that you love me so much that you will give me a tune-up. That you will, Lord, you'll just reach right into my heart and you'll begin to adjust me. Friends, I want to encourage you today. This is a day for us to worship in spirit and in truth. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, which obviously represents our lives, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. He's good, he's pleasing, and perfect will. You know, in James chapter 1, verse 27, it says, pure and lasting religion in the sight of God our Father means that we must care for orphans and widows in their troubles and refuse to let the world corrupt us. We're not going to live with all these things in our life. No, we're going to pull them down and push them out, and we're going to return to God, and we're going to begin to build again a life of worship that is pleasing and honoring in the eyes of the Lord. Friends, can I say to you today, God wants to bless your life. He wants to pour out blessing upon you. It's not like God has only got a little bit of blessing and it's like, well, who are the best kids in the house and I'm just going to give it to... No. If you will live honorably before the Lord, He just wants to bless you, exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or imagine. He wants to do things in your life that you could never even think of. It's like my wall. It's like all the cafes. It's like He just picked a brick from all those cafes and just put them all together and there it is. Now I walk into my family room and I'm just reminded of the goodness of God. He wants to bless my boundaries, but I promise you, I'm not a favorite in heaven. Everything that God would do for me, God would do for you. He loves you just the same and He wants to pour out blessings upon you all the way to the boundaries of your life. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or imagine. But for you to do this or for it to happen and continue to happen in my life, for me to live a life where I can see that God is blessing all the way to the boundaries, then I need to make a decision. I am going to sift and I'm going to lift. You say, you're going to what? I'm going to sift and I'm going to lift. I'm going to sift that which is in my life so that which isn't meant to be there can be taken away. And then when I have what's left, I'm going to lift it before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm going to say, Lord, it may not be much, but Lord, it's all that I am, and I want to give it all to you. I want to sift out those things that are going to prevent me from coming into your presence. I'm going to sift out those things that are going to prevent me from hearing your word. I'm going to sift out those things that are going to take my life down a path that I don't want it to go. I'm going to sift all of that out. I'm going to remove it. I'm going to remove it from my life. And then what's left, Lord, I'm going to bring it to you as an offering. I'm going to present my life as a living offering before you. I'm going to sift it and I'm going to lift it and I'm going to come into your presence in the knowledge and the belief, Lord, that you have given your life for me, that I might have life and have it to the full, that I might be one who declares also that the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Church, can I encourage you today? Stay strong. Stay strong. Can I encourage you? If you need to, do what David did. As 1 Samuel chapter 30, I think, verse 6, so thereabout, David strengthened himself in the Lord, as in when everything was upside down, he found strength in the Lord, his God. There comes a time when we need to turn off the TV and step away from everything that's going on and find our peace in the presence of God, find our life again in the presence of God. David strengthened himself in the presence of the Lord. We need to be a people who know how to run to our strong tower, to where our help comes from. Strengthen ourselves in God. And then from there, we rise up in faith and we be courageous and we go to work. We sift, remove that stuff that needs to be taken out, and then we lift it before God and say, Lord, all that I am, it is for you and your glory. And everybody said together, amen and amen. I'm believing today that God wants to bless you, bless your family, bless your life, all the way to the very boundaries of all that is you, all that represents you. I'm believing that God wants to bless you exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ever ask or imagine. Maybe you're watching in today and you're like, Shane, I really wish I knew God like that, because you really believe that that's what God wants to do. I do believe that God wants to do that, and you can know it too. The key to knowing it is to knowing God. Friends, I want to encourage you today. It's like everybody can access the goodness of the Lord. Everyone can access this life that I've been talking about. It's like it is there for us all. If we'll be strong and courageous and make the right decisions, then we can enter into the joy of the Lord. We can enter into the fullness of our rest. We can embrace it all. We can embrace a life in Christ. You know, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but the Bible also says that Jesus Christ is the answer to that sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages for that sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He wants to be your salvation. He wants to be your joy. He wants to be your peace. He wants to bring a life to you that is hidden in Him through His forgiveness, that you might enjoy a life where you are blessed all the way to the boundaries, all the way to the boundaries, every boundary of your life. All the nations that were around King Asa became at peace with him in that moment where he went to work in regards to the things that mattered to God. Today, I want to say to you, what matters most in God, with God, is that we are found in His Son, Jesus Christ. So today, if you're watching in, I want to encourage you, if you want to give your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you to do that today. It's because I know something's been stirring in you. You're hearing me talk and you're either thinking, that guy's crazy or he's got something I want. Friends, if I'm not saying I'm not crazy a little bit, but what I am saying is you need what I have. What I have is salvation in the name of the Lord. What I have is a knowledge of Christ. What I know is I'm known by Him and I know Him. You can know Him too. You can have life and you can have it to the full. You can have forgiveness and you can have joy and peace and life in the Holy Spirit. It is all there for you. But you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So wherever you are today, if you want to give your life to Christ today, here's the thing. If you're on our online platform, there's a little raised hand on the bottom right-hand side of the screen there that says, I want to give my life to Jesus. Friend, if you want to give your life to Jesus today, we're going to pray for you in just a minute. But if you want to give your life to Christ today, can I encourage you, hit that little raised hand right now. Just hit that little raised hand. Maybe you're watching on Facebook, one of our Facebook pages, communities. Can I encourage you today? If you want to give your life to Jesus, just write in the comment section there, I want to give my life to Jesus. Just do that now. I want to give my life to Jesus. That's it. You can do it. You can do it. If you want to do it, I'm going to encourage you to do it. Some people, I get to a place where it's like, I really want to do this, but what will people think? What will people say? Don't worry about any of that. Just understand this. God loves you. Jesus came for you. Jesus died for you. Now Jesus is reaching for you. The reason you're feeling like, I want to do this is because the Spirit of the Lord is reaching out to you. He's prompting your heart and prompting your spirit to give your life to Jesus. So just write in that comment section now, I want to give my life to Jesus. Right there, right now. Bang. I want to give my life to Jesus. Maybe you're on the online platform. Hit that little raised hand. Just do it. Just do it. Be courageous now. Be strong and courageous. That's where it begins with all of us. Be strong and courageous. Let it be a sign to heaven. And someone from our team is going to pick you up and we're going to help you begin on your journey in God. So hit that now. Write that now. We're going to pray for all of you. Come on, enjoyers. Wherever you are today, let's all pray together for those with those that are giving their life to Jesus. And I don't know about you. I just love praying this prayer myself each and every week. So let's pray together. Doing it for the first time, just do it. Let's pray together. Second time, let's pray together. Everybody else, let's just pray. Father, I thank you for all that you've done, for bringing me to this place that I might give my life to you. Today, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my all. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of my sin. Help me, Lord, to live a life that is both pleasing and honoring of you. So today, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my all. I believe from this day on, I am your child, and you are my God, my Lord, my Savior, and my friend. So from today, Lord, you are my God, and I will live for you. I'll pull down the things that aren't going to be good for me, and I'll lift up to you the rest of my life in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen together. Praise God. Come on, let's give up for all those who just gave their hearts to the Lord for the very first time or maybe recommitted their lives. Now, I just want to pray very quickly for every enjoyer. This message for me, you know, it just reminds me again of the goodness of the Lord. I would encourage you to even remind yourself of the great things that God has done in your life over the years that are just like outlandish. They're just outrageous. I'm reminded of the scripture that says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. He just doesn't stop. Just when we think he's done everything he can do, what does he do? He builds the wall of Great Georgie, praise God. It's like he builds a wall that just reminds me of his goodness every day. And it's like, the thing I love about the wall, it's rock. It's like, it's brick. It's like, it ain't ever going to move. It'll be there now. until Jesus comes back, or I go to be with him, as a constant reminder of just how good and how kind he is. Now, so if you're here and you're like, Shane, I've heard what you've said, and it's like, yeah, it's time to do a stock take. I need to take stock of my life. I need to sift. I need to remove some things out of my life, and I need to lift. I need to bring God the rest of my life and say, God, here we are. My whole life now, it is yours. This is my spiritual act of worship, Lord. I will bring you my life. I will look after the widows. I'll look after the orphans. I'll be involved in everything that I know is pleasing to you. I'm going to remove some things, and I'm going to sift it, and then what's left, Lord, it belongs to you, and I'm going to lift it to your presence, Lord God. If that's you today, you're saying, yeah, Shane, that's me. I want to go on this journey. I'm with you. I want to go on this journey. I just want you to close your eyes. Just let me speak a blessing over you. Father, Lord, I pray for every brother and every sister. Lord, I declare in Jesus' name your goodness over their life. Not just in the smaller things, Lord God, not in the insignificant things, but in everything, Lord God. In everything, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, as they sift, Lord God, and remove the things that are just a distraction to you, Lord God, as they get those things out of their life, Lord God, as they, Lord, walk in self-discipline, Lord God, as they walk, Lord God, in perseverance, Lord God, and remove those things, and Lord, bring the rest to you, I pray, Almighty God, that they would know your goodness like never before, not just on their life, but upon everything that comes under their authority, all the way to the boundary, Lord God. I pray they would have peace on every side, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, on every boundary, they would see the blessing of the Lord. Lord, I pray for it and I declare it now in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said together, amen and amen and amen. God bless you. Enjoy. I don't know about you. I have so enjoyed this message. I've been preaching it to myself for the last few days, and now obviously I've brought it to you, but I want to encourage you, let's sift. Let's lift. Let's get ready for all that God has got for us. Kid Mania is about to come your way. I want to encourage all of you, continue to lean in. Can I take this opportunity? Lean into friendship groups, lean into your departments, lean to your location passes. Let's stay together. Watch out for one another. How many of you know we are better together? We're always going to be stronger and better together. So let's stir up that courageous side of us. Let's be strong in the Lord. Keep moving forward. God bless you lots. We'll see you real soon. Bye for now.